You have like peanut butter all in your beard.
Is my beard weird?
Stash is trash.
Oh, it's bad. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 2nd, 2015. This is Mike Minotti, and I am joined by my brother, Ajgai.
Hello.
The Ajgai, the father of twin girls.
That's true.
And they're funny.
They are.
One sneezes like me, apparently.
Yeah. That's good. Need to get her to stop that.
Nope. I probably sneeze on this show at some point. I have very...
That's your sneeze.
Very boisterous sneezes.
No, you just don't open your mouth and it comes out like a raspberry and spittle goes flying everywhere.
Well, when you say it like that, it sounds disgusting. But, so hey, we got some news and the stuff we've been playing. We've been playing some things. How about you?
Playing, yeah, I play things.
Ooh, fancy. It's a good thing we play things on our video game show.
Yes.
So then, yeah, we'll do that. And do you have releases up, actually?
Noggin.
Yeah, get those releases up, and I'll kind of segue here. But so yeah, let's get to the news. And while he's looking that up, I can bring up one story I wrote this morning. Ocarina of Time, the Nintendo 64 classic, is coming to Wii U today via the Virtual Console. Is this something that interests you at all?
No, only because I have it on my 3DS, and that's a better version.
Right, it's kind of the awkward thing, right? Because like the Wii, it's like, oh, you like you don't have to play it on your TV, but it's like, well, I have it on the 3DS, and yeah, they updated the graphics and made things convenient with that touchscreen. So, yeah, I think you have to be just like a pretty like diehard Zelda completionist. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who like prefer that original version for whatever reason.
Yeah, you know, they really want because you can play these 64 games on your gamepad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you had that going for you.
Yeah, that's nice. But, yeah, it's like it's hard to imagine why. I mean, it's $10, so... Ocarina of Time.
You could do worse things with your money.
Ocarina of Time has been on basically like every platform at this point.
It really has.
Was on 64, then it was released on GameCube. That Wii Virtual Console, Wii U Virtual Console, 3DS. Just, like, wasn't on the DS, I guess. Or the Game Boy Advance.
Well, I don't think they could handle it.
Mm.
You can't handle this!
Hey, they got Mario 64 on the DS.
Well, that's right. That was, yeah, like, re-release that version. Because you can play as, like, Wario and shit.
Yeah, I kind of do wish they would, like, just re-release that on the 3DS. It'd be better.
Yeah.
Like, the big problem with that game was that you didn't have an analog stick.
Yeah, that weird plastic thing you wore on your thumb.
Right.
That was weird.
Right, yeah.
At least, like, in that game, though, it worked. I don't know why we're talking about this. But, like, remember, because wherever you put your finger on this touchscreen became the center point.
Right, but...
But then, like...
You would lose concept of where that center was unless you were staring at it the
right,
whole time.
Right, but then there was Rayman, where it was just fixed on the lower screen.
Yeah, but they discovered very quickly that 3D platforming was not going to work on the DS.
Yeah, yeah. They figured that out.
Well, it's weird though because now you kind of can do it on the 3DS, and there's not like a whole lot of it really. I guess there's Mario 3D Land and stuff. That was great.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I don't know. It seems like lately it's slowed down a little bit. But so yeah. So there's Ocarina of Time. What else, Ajgai?
So we have juicy rumors of the Nintendo NX.
I don't believe any of this.
This comes from DigiTimes.
Who the hell is DigiTimes?
They are based out of Taipei, China. So for all we know, this might be like the Engadget of Taipei.
DigiTimes, digital newsfeed. DigiTimes is from China.
Very accurate. Anyway. According to DigiTimes.
That should be their theme song. They can take that if they want. If anyone from DigiTimes is listening, go ahead. I will sue.
So, this comes from sources close to the matter. But according to them, basically, the Nintendo NX will be coming out a year from now. July of 2016. They are apparently... Nintendo's talking with Foxconn, which is the kind of somewhat controversial electronics manufacturing plant in China, to do an initial order of the Nintendo NX that will start production in October. Full mass production is scheduled to start in May or June for the launch in July. They're looking to ship 20 million Nintendo NX in the first year.
20 million? They haven't sold 10 million Wii U's.
The shipment volume of Wii U is estimated at 2 million units in 2015.
Oh my
God. So, do you think that makes any sense, launching in July of 2016.
Who's launched a console in July?
No one. Someone launched one in May once.
Who?
I believe that was the Sega Saturn.
How'd that go? Yeah. Why would you release this console not during Christmas time?
I don't know. Maybe you think, like, I mean, we're going to complain, that there's no new stuff coming out this summer. And then fall is going to be a deluge. Maybe they want to own the summer.
Yeah, maybe with a game, not with a console. I don't know.
It depends. It still depends. Obviously, we don't know. What is the NX?
The only reason I can see is if the Wii U is so dead in the water that they have to get something out. But even then, it'd be better to just kind of lay low for 6 months.
I'm curious. I'm very curious to see what happens this holiday because Nintendo, this bothers me. When I read about Star Fox Zero, it sounds like they're like, we need a game for the gamepad. And it wasn't like, oh, we have this idea for a Star Fox game.
I think,
and the gamepad would be perfect. They're like, we need to shoehorn the gamepad into a franchise we have that we can do quickly.
I think everyone needs to calm down a little bit on Star Fox Zero. It'll be fine.
Nevertheless, that's not the game. Star Fox, which I love, is not the game where you're like, here's our holiday release.
Well, no, it was supposed to be Zelda, obviously. Yeah. Now that's becoming an NX game at this point. I'm convinced of it. Maybe it'll also come out on Wii U, but that game is coming out on NX.
Yeah.
There is no way it is not.
Yeah, so...
But...
I mean, Nintendo's like, oh, Splatoon's doing well. I'm like, yeah, it's doing pretty good, but I don't think people... I think Splatoon is selling to the people who have a Wii U.
No one's buying the Splatoon bundle at Best Buy. But honestly, I don't think there aren't any games like that anymore. See, I don't think you sell a system on one game anymore like you used to.
No, but you sell a system on features, third-party
support. That's what I'm saying. It's not Splatoon's fault.
Splatoon
did what it could.
I think Nintendo is stuck in that mindset. Like, we need that one killer app. But I don't think that exists anymore.
Here's something with the NX. The NX can launch with that Zelda, which I think it will. Mm-hmm. If they can just make a Smash Bros. 4 NX, which is basically just, the Smash Bros. Game that they made for Wii U, but with, all the DLC already, maybe some new stages, maybe, a new character. You don't have to make a whole new Smash Bros., right?
Uh-huh.
Because, obviously, they're not going to, anytime soon. They just make this one. So just make, the NX version. You have the naming convention already, so you can always get away with it.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with it.
Right.
I'd like that.
That's all you want?
Yeah, so if you can launch with Smash Bros. And Zelda, it's pretty good. Maybe Mario too, because the Mario team must be working on something. So they're that's the one nice thing about the NX. Because the Wii U does not really have any game after this year. There's nothing except for Zelda, right? That we know about,
right?
There's a reason for that. I think there. I don't think there are anymore.
Yeah,
I think that's done. The legacy of the Wii U is going to be interesting. Because from a pure game standpoint, it had some great games.
Sure.
It's almost Dreamcast-ish, right? Even
in a way, yeah.
Because the Dreamcast only had 2 good years in it. The Wii U is on its third, at least.
Yeah.
That's
true. Of course, the Dreamcast was the last console Sega ever made, so it's not a perfect comparison.
Right. Yeah, but when we look back on the Wii U, you'll think of, Smash Brothers and Mario 3D World and Splatoon, Bayonetta, what else? Things.
Yeah.
But it had a good game. Mario Kart. It had the best Mario Kart.
It does have the best Mario Kart.
So, but yeah, it's gonna be interesting. If you could just have a Wii U or a Wii, which one would it be? I guess the Wii had the Mario Galaxy games and Skyward Sword, huh?
Right. Still probably should have a Wii U.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah. The Wii U is obviously just conceptually not a great idea.
Yeah, and there was an interview with Shigeru Miyamoto that came, I think it was out of E3, where they were trying to say it was just bad timing because we had this tablet controller at a time when tablets were really taking off, and our tablet didn't do what all these other tablets do, which is what everyone said when the Wii U came out.
That was the big problem. The tablet thing was one thing, but the tablet itself isn't really much of a tablet. It's just a screen.
Right, and I think they... In a way, they may have oversold what that part of the system was.
Right.
Remember before the Wii U came out, everyone called bullshit that only one Wii U gamepad would work with the system. And so I was like, oh, we're going to support two. Does anyone give a shit about that? No,
I was just thinking about that. Who cares?
Right?
Like, what would you even
do? Are you going to go buy another one for $100? Great.
Yeah, you know what? I used the weird thing they sold me so I can plug in GameCube controllers.
That's the other thing, too. The Nintendo NX, no Wii remotes.
No, don't make us
have a controller.
Yeah, don't make all this old shit compatible. It's just fucking confusing.
It is. Right now, let's run through all the controllers you can use with a Wii U, shall we?
Yeah.
You have the Wii U gamepad, the Wii U Pro Controller.
Wii Pro Controller.
I'm trying to go in order here. A Wii Wand, the Wii Controller with Nunchuck, the Wii Controller with Classic Controller, the Wii Controller with Classic Controller Pro, the GameCube fucking controller, a WaveBird, we could throw that
in the list. You can use
your 3DS on something. You can use your 3DS. You can put the Wii remote in the wheel.
Yeah, and then the gamepad. Like,
there's just too many just fucking too many controllers.
Just make a controller. And don't be too clever. Don't put the analog stick above the face buttons, please. No,
yeah, that's just a bad idea.
That never works.
Just make a conventional controller, Nintendo. No one gives a shit. Everyone gave up. You know how we got the masses? We made Candy Crush on a phone. You can't make some one-button magic controller that Grandma could use anymore, because Grandma doesn't give a shit.
Dude, what about Valve's revolutionizing the controller?
Oh, that thing looks weird.
Yeah, not as much anymore, but yeah. What is actually different about it more? Just that it has...
So it's got, like, the two trackpad dealios, a thumbstick, some buttons, triggers in the back, kind of like the Elite controller.
It's funny, because, like, everyone's like, we need to get less buttons. The best controller I've used lately was that Xbox One Elite controller, which has more buttons.
Yes, all the buttons.
It has all the buttons, and, like, that's the thing, is if you could do, like, the interchangeable parts, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
But they all maintain the same core functionality, it's just... Do you like this analog stick?
I am excited for the X, because I think the Wii U was made in a kind of prosperous Nintendo era, or maybe they were a little high on themselves or whatever. I think its company is most interesting when they're backed into a corner. Like that's how we got the PlayStation 4 in a way. Well, they weren't super backed in a corner, but Sony came out swinging, obviously.
Yeah, well, again, Nintendo's strength really is in their games, and like they got cute and lucky with their hardware with the Wii.
Well. And I think one thing that Miyamoto said, too, he's not really involved in the NX this time like he was with the Wii and the Wii U, which I think is maybe a good thing, because I'm sure I think that he's very much interested in those kind of gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to make a system.
Yeah, they need to just play it safe with their hardware.
Like, they don't need a gimmick, but they need, like, a feature. I know, like, that's a fine line, but, like, that, like, I don't know if this is what it's going to be, but if it is that, like, rumor of, like, the dual portable home console, that'll be a cool feature.
Right.
Right, that's not a gimmick, per se.
The only thing there, though, is then how graphically powerful can it be?
Yeah, well, it could be pretty graphically powerful.
Some television's going to have the same horsepower as a Wii U.
If they do that, maybe, I don't know.
I think that's what's going to happen.
But that's just if they do that. We don't know if they're actually doing that.
Right.
So, okay, what's next?
Final thing here. So, Nolan North got a little chatty. Confirmed a bunch of things he probably shouldn't have.
It's kind
of
weird. It makes me want...
It seems like actors always do this, you know? Mm-hmm. That's always a good source of leaks. It's the voice actors. So, first of all, he pretty much confirmed Last of Us 2 is in the works, which, you know, big surprise, right?
Right. Well, he's like, because... Well, I can't even talk about the spoilers. They're probably spoilers to you. He barely played last
time. I need to finish it someday. Well, I know, I promise.
Yeah, I don't believe you. Right after Red Dead, huh?
Yes. Once that's backwards compatible,
I can go back and
play it. He also talked a little bit about what Amy Hennig's doing over at EA for her Star Wars game. He described it as very Uncharted-like, Wars 1313 that got canned was also very Uncharted-like, so...
Yeah, in a way.
Maybe they're using some of that tech that's left from that, who knows?
I doubt it.
I hope that game's good.
But the,
The Amy Hennig Star
Wars. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah. And is there anything else you said?
I think that's...
He talked about, like, kind of the transition. Like, apparently 8 months of work got thrown out. Like, they were working on Uncharted 4 with Amy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then, like, they had, like, 8 months of, like, motion capture and recording done and everything.
They, like, completely started over.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened. I want to hear what really happened.
Yeah, someday. We never will.
No, maybe someday. I just wonder, like, well, that seems, it seems like something dramatic happened, yeah, right?
Something weird had to occur.
Uncharted 4 looks great, though.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, whatever. Yesterday they streamed on Twitch. Now it's just, like, on YouTube with the full gameplay demo that you got to see at E3.
You peasants get to see it. That's
Holy
not fair.
Shit. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Every inch of that is just so good.
Oh, yeah. It looks insane. That's a great thing about Charlie. Like, you can take, like, just those slices of it, and it just looks ridiculous. It's just the set pieces, man.
Yeah.
And, like, there's so even, like, you can get, like, the hint of, like, those character moments that are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That Sam character is either going to die and or betray Nate, though, right?
Yeah, it's got to be one way or the other, right?
I assume he's the thief's end on the actual one.
Right.
That the game is talking about. And that's, what's his face doing it? The not Troy Nolan Baker. North. Yeah, the other one.
Yeah, at long last, they've been brought together.
Probably been brought together. Nolan North was in Last of Us. They're both people in Arkham Knight. Speaking of which...
Hey, good transition. Yeah. Who's Troy Baker in Arkham Knight?
He's the Arkham Knight.
Oh, I didn't know that was him.
And okay. He's someone else, actually. He's a couple people.
Because he was the Joker in Arkham Origins.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's not. And, yeah. I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I was like, what's a spoiler anymore for this game?
Yeah, I try to tread carefully, because frankly, I almost had something spoiled to me by an idiot we know.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if he meant to do. Like, I don't even know how you got that information. Anyway.
How much more are you playing?
Let's see, where am I? That I can say it in vague terms.
Where am I?
I just got an upgrade. I got to choose one of two upgrades for my Batmobile, and I just received it.
Okay.
That gives me
where I am. Yeah. So.
Okay, so, been playing more. You beat it, right?
I beat the main story, yeah.
So, all in all, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Where do you rate it with the other Arkham games?
Well, it's interesting. Because there's some things that are different, and maybe I didn't like as much. Like the campaign in this one, it's very much focused on that Arkham Knight Scarecrow story. Whereas, like, the campaign in the other games, it was, like, it integrated all the other villains into it. Like, so, like, there's a section where you need to do something with Mr. Freeze. There's a section where you need to do something with the Penguin. Or in this one, like, all the other villains are their own, like, side quest chains, kind of.
Okay.
Which is, it's interesting in a way, but you do kind of lose, like, that grander, like, overall story theme. Two, like, the Arkham Asylum was basically Metroidvania.
Right.
Arkham City was much more open world, which were just kind of an action game, but, like, you had, like, these areas where you'd be in, like, large, like, in indoor areas that were, like, mini Metroidvanias. There's, like maybe a couple of those in this one, but this one is much more just open world game, mm-hmm. which works for it, and I like that it's different. I will say, like, you know, people who complain about the Batmobile, I do not. I like the Batmobile.
Right. I think
it makes it different from the other ones, which I like.
The issue I think I could see you having is, like, when you're in the Batmobile, it's basically a different game.
It is.
And, you know, maybe, you know, I could see why people maybe, like, that doesn't jive with them. I think it helps break things up a bit.
Yeah.
You know, the other issue, too, is, it, like, you can't avoid it. You have to do these tank battles, basically.
Yeah, the tank battles, maybe they could have done a little bit more there to make that a little...
And also, the story justification of it is a little hokey because, you know, they're so dead set in their role, Batman doesn't kill people. It's like, you know, in the beginning of the game, when you first encounter them, Barbara, she's like... Batman, those are drones. They're unmanned. He's like, good. That means I'll blow the shit out of them.
Then why not?
Like,
why not use drones?
Then you got the Arkham Knight, who claims to know everything about Batman, how predictable he is. So, like, if you just... The guy didn't have to be in the drone. Just, like, have him ride on the roof. Yeah.
Just tape... Batman, literally can't tapes, do anything. Tape some people to the sides of them.
Yeah, and then you can't do anything, well, right?
There's always these plot holes of Batman
I know.
With, like, with the whole, like, everyone knows he won't kill people, but, like, they kind of play along.
So I
don't know. But I like the puzzle stuff with the Batmobile, oddly enough. Like,
yeah, that's the Riddler challenge. I only did the first one.
Oh, I mean, the Riddler...
They built a big racetrack underground, and this is your riddle.
Okay, but people were like...
I mean, I enjoyed playing it.
So only now the Riddler stuff is ridiculous? Because before he was just hiding trophies in, like, the places he somehow knew Batman would go. And he, like, set his minions on it to, like, yeah, I had to put a trophy here. And also, I contracted this ridiculous electrical puzzle game. Yeah, so only now is it stupid. Yeah, sure.
I like that actor who plays.
Oh, yeah, me too, great. Actually, yeah. But, no, the whole game was great. It was super fun.
They do this game does really cool things with, like, storytelling within the world of gameplay.
Yeah.
That I feel like I haven't really seen since Half-Life 2, in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's better than Arkham City. I don't know.
My gut is, I think it is so far what I've played, but I think Asylum might be the more cohesive game as a whole.
Well,
just because it's a little more focused.
Yeah.
But this is
super really fun.
Damn good. And fun. Man, does it look good.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a pretty
game. It is a very nice looking next gen game. If you don't have the PC version.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, let's see. I plugged in Elite Beat Agents again.
Oh, man.
I still have my card. That's like the only DS card I still carry around with me. So great. Because I know it was great because like I was just trying to beat Jumbo Jack Flash the final level on the hard difficulty, which is like hard. It took me a few days and I was like still like super.
Get back in that groove.
It was still super satisfying when you
beat the it's great. I never did. You unlock those bonus songs at the end.
Yeah.
I never beat that Destiny's Child song.
Oh, really?
I never could. I never did it.
Oh, man.
But, so that's the only song I didn't beat on the hardest difficulty.
I think Jumping Jack Flash is like the greatest final level
in
any game almost.
It's
so exciting. I get so pumped up for it. I get, like, chilled when I finally beat it.
It's a great version of that song.
It actually is. I actually don't like the original as much. The original are, like, kind of so, like, dun, 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 dun. This is like,
yeah, dun, dun.
Everyone's, like, in the background freaking out because, like, we're saving the world from music.
Crying, happy, stream
but
tears.
It's so, oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's so fit. It's so euphoric. I love it. I can just play it on and on. But, yeah. Elite Agents is great. It's kind of sad. It's sad, but in a way, it's like that there will
good,
be a sequel. But it's like,
little,
yeah.
Let that be a perfect little moment in time.
Yeah, we'll leave Elite Agents alone. But I watched another speedrun that was super fun. I watched the Sonic Generation speedrun.
Oh, how's that?
Great guy beat it in about an hour and 4 minutes.
Oh.
So, and there's some interesting tricks with like when like you transition from like the 3D to the 2D. Planes, you can if you do something like the game will still think you're 3D, so you can kind of just like bypass some of the 2D sections.
Weird,
yeah, weird things like that. So,
so this was a glitchy speed,
well, not super glitchy, not like Ocarina of Time where you can beat it in 5 minutes,
right?
But it was super interesting.
Cool. I you reminded me when you text me, you got your ODST code. I don't know why it took you so long to get yours because I had mine for like a month,
yeah.
But I was like, oh, yeah, I never actually played that after I downloaded it. And honestly, it's hard to find.
Yeah.
Like, you download it, and the way you launch it, you have to go into Halo Master Chief Collection, go to Campaigns, then you choose Halo 3, and then there's a new submenu pops up for Halo 3 or Halo 3 ODST.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't just get its own icon. But I tell you what, that game, like you know, running like the 1080p, 60 frames, and the kind of like the lighting isn't a little bit enhanced as a result of everything.
Yeah.
So it looks pretty good.
Yeah,
I like that game a lot.
Maybe we should get back to our Halo marathon.
I know,
before 5 comes out.
We were doing
then
it.
Then it wasn't working.
I know.
That was a while ago. It was like before you had kids last time we tried, so.
Yeah, I think it's working now.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
It's possible. Yeah, so did I play anything else?
Did you, if you tried the, Heroes of the Storm since the Eternal Conflict?
I have not. Have you?
Yeah, it's super, so there's like the new map, basically, which is a very fun map. Like, the conceit of it is, that there's an angel and a devil fighting in the middle of the map,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is, like, you're on one of their sides.
Yeah.
So, like, there's, like, a kind of a circle, and they'll be, like, kind of, like, across from each other at the circle point, so you have to, like, attack the other one to help yours win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after a while, they'll, like, clash a bit, and it'll be on different sides, you kind of have to move over. So it's like a dynamic, like, you know, attacking that person, but also, like, maybe attacking the other team who's attacking yours.
Yeah, I see.
So, and then, like, once you win, your guy will appear in the middle, drop some regen orbs, and then march towards the enemy base. Like,
that's cool.
They often do. But yeah, so it's super neat.
Did you play around with the Butcher at all?
No, I haven't messed with the Butcher. Well,
his abilities are really interesting. I was looking at like the kind of walkthrough video they put out.
Well, they showed me that walkthrough video, like the developers, I interviewed them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely looked interesting. Leoric is the one who looks like he was going to be really different and neat.
Wait, he's got that weird ghost and respawn anywhere he wants thing.
yeah. So that is like the neat thing with like not having the item shop and stuff like that. Like they can be really creative with their heroes. But yeah, I was enjoying that. I was actually playing a lot of Kerrigan just because I had a daily quest to play an assassin, a daily quest to play a Starcraft character, and I was having a lot of fun with Kerrigan.
Yeah, I unlocked her with that code you gave me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah,
and I haven't gotten a player yet.
I think that's why I have her now too. But yeah, she's actually super. As far as like the melee assassins go, she's fun. just because like her like regular attacks like give her a little bit of a shield that kind of protect her.
Oh, okay.
So that she's a melee assassin, but she's not like super squishy. Like obviously you don't want to be too aggressive,
right?
And she also has like a thing that will bring people kind of towards her a little bit.
Okay, it's like a skill shot kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a skill shot, but yeah. So yeah, she's fun to play as. But I do love the daily quests because they do kind of like...
They focus you a bit.
Well, they encourage you to play with characters maybe you wouldn't.
Right.
Because like if it wasn't for that, I probably would have just been playing with Gazlo this whole time and I might have gotten bored with it. But yeah, this is a little different and like neat.
I still haven't tried the Tavern Brawl in Hearthstone yet.
I did.
I haven't had time yet. What was it?
Well, it was cool. It might be... I think it would be better if it was just all pre-made decks. Like, the one I did, like, you had to make a deck still, which I feel like might be kind of intimidating for, like...
Well, I think that's still... It changes week to week. Some weeks, they may be...
Right, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Because, like, the idea of the most... Like, what I thought was cool about the most, like, oh, like, I can just play this with my friends, and it's like we're on equal ground.
Mm-hmm.
When you make a deck, there's, like, then like...
Your
that,
collection comes in the
then
play.
Having, well, oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to think if the collection even counts if it was, like, just out of a thing. I don't know.
Oh, like a pool of cards.
But still, just, like, making a deck is, like, a meta game to the game,
right,
in a way.
Right.
So, yeah. But, I mean, it's neat. It's a new mode.
Yeah.
Let's try. It's funny how much I love deck. Blizzard's free-to-play games.
Yeah, they're good. At Overwatch.
Did anybody care about Battleborn? That thing had a big presence at E3. I don't think anyone cared.
Like a few stories about it, but yeah, like not like a huge amount of coverage.
They wanted that to be a big thing, or they want it to be a big thing. I don't know. Well, it's weird because it's just Overwatch is basically the same thing. It's just a team-based shooter with like
cartoony-ish graphics.
Yeah, like not really a MOBA, but I don't know. Kind of just Monday Night Combat-ish. Remember Super Monday Night Combat? That was super fun for a bit. That did not take off.
I wish it did. I really enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it. It was funny.
Yes.
We had fun with it for a bit,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but, you know, then rules change.
Rules change. I was always the rocket person. All right. Anything else you play?
Nope.
What's coming out?
Not a damn thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is pretty... It's weird, actually. I think, like, the next game coming out that I'm really excited for is Metal Gear Solid.
Which is...
like, September 1st or something, so... Which is weird to think that game is, like, that close-ish. I cannot wait for that. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, good.
Oh, it'll be good. It's going to be great. Even when Metal Gear games aren't great, like, freaking... Like, it would be interesting to play Metal Gear Solid 4 again, because I really actually only played the one time, and I loved it at the time.
Yeah.
But it definitely was mostly cutscenes.
I like your tweet about that monkey guy.
Right.
So like, I forgot all about him.
I don't know why I remembered him out of nowhere. I was like, oh, that guy. I was like, yeah, my tweet was like, this. You know who was like a forgettable character is that guy with the monkey who sold you weapons in Metal Gear Solid 4. It was weird. Alright, is that it then?
That's it.
Alright, everybody, thank you for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review if you can. We always appreciate that. Helps us out a lot. You can find old episodes there too. So, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.